Horizon Theater's current production takes its audience to small-town Virginia in 1920. There, May Lou, her daughter Carrie, and blues singer Pearl fall under the spell of gambler and all-around bad guy Herman Cam. He is mean. He is the meanest man on earth. The musical is based on Ruth P. Watson's 2012 novel, Blackberry Days of Summer. She is also the co-playwright. And here in studio with me now, our director and playwright, Thomas W. Jones II, and lead actor, T.C. Carson, the meanest man on earth, who plays Herman Cam. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you so much.
I say that because T.C., who many of you know from Living Single and his film roles, is really very sweet, but not in this production. No, no, sir.
Yeah, Herman has a few issues, yes.
I'm just here. Misunderstood.
There you go.
I'm
here
to tell you.
Just misunderstood.
So, first, tell us, if you will, the synopsis.
Well, it's a romance murder mystery, and it really is about, as you said, this gentleman, Herman Cam, who comes into this community and disrupts it in a way that is irrevocable. And, you know, you make friends and enemies when you are a fire starter. And he's made his share of enemies. So in many respects, it's about trying to figure out, you know, giving motive to a lot of these characters who live in this world to seek their revenge. And so you begin to wonder, okay, who is it that actually murdered this man?
And no one seems to care very much. This is remarkable. Oh, thank God this guy's dead. And it starts out that way.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. But it's a really testament to the wonderful writing of Ruth Watson, whose novel. And she actually has a quartet. She's finished three of them, one being Blackberry Days of Summer, one being Elderberry Falls. I think the other is Cranberry Winter. And then she's working on the spring quartet. But it really is a testament to her writing that that you're compelled by the characters and by the people that she creates, and you're compelled by the story and the storytelling. So in true romance murder mystery style, you get caught up in the journey and in trying to figure out not only who did it, but also why they did it.
Tom, you worked with the author, Ruth Watson, in adapting the play. Many people would have difficulty understanding that process, you know. I mean, you clearly conceived of this or felt it deserved to have music. It's prose. How did that collaboration work?
Well, I read the novel, and initially she wanted to adapt it as a film. And, you know, I think it probably would work very, very well as a film. But coming from the theater, I get to see the theatrical, you know, the sense of trying to impose a theatrical imagination on it. And it was, the language was so rich. And to be quite honest, it was having seen Spunk years ago, George Wolfe did with not only music but adapting the work of Zora Neale Hurston, that became the template for me of wanting to preserve her language and creating the theatrical novels so that you weren't trying to create scenes that were in absentia of the way in which the novel. So we compressed characters. 95% of the language is the language from her novel, and then it was just about trying to, again, get the same synergy theatrically that you got when you read it.
Okay, T.C., Mr. Mean.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Right? Yes. Right? How do you play a character who is so villainous? Do you have to search for some redemption? Are there any redeeming qualities that Herman has that you have discovered since you've played him?
Well, I think that, and Tom and I have had this conversation, extensive conversations about who Herman is, and I think it's real easy to play the villain. that's it's there, you know, that's part of who he is, that's what he does. But there has to be a reason why people gravitate toward him. There has to be a reason why these women fall in love with him. There has to be a reason why, you know, people do what he wants them to do.
And it's beyond your sexy voice.
Thank you, baby. That's part of it. I mean, the goal is to make him a person, not just a villain. And so you see, I think you see Herman's journey as well. And when you see his journey, you realize he's not necessarily a bad person. He makes bad decisions given how he was raised and what his life has been. And I think when you see that, when you kind of understand that, then you don't look at him as a villain. He becomes the person where, oh, I didn't want to like him. Oh, I shouldn't have liked him. okay. All right.
But
so, you know, you kind of, the goal was to make him a human. And I think we've done a better job with that in this production than I did in the DC production, because I've had time to think about him. I've had more conversations with Tom. So it's a different Herman Cam this time. Kindler, gentler.
Yes. A kinder, gentler rapist.
Well, wow. Why did you have to tell him? You really have to tell him?
Well, it's very much a women's story.
Absolutely.
Very much so.
Absolutely.
And I read that this is of critical importance to you in the way that the play lands with the audience.
Well, and I think she sketched such powerful women. And part of what intrigued me about reading it was the, you know, I mean, we have aunties and grandmothers and mothers and sisters who resemble those women. And just because we're in 1919, 1920, you begin to see the continuum of the strength of those women from generation to generation. And in that sense, what I'm really intrigued about and what's been really wonderful is to watch how men gravitate to the story. You know,
isn't it remarkable at this point in the 21st century we're discovering that men can be interested in women's stories?
Well, and that I think in a culture which has sometimes, you know, underscored misogyny, you know, that there are those who definitely react to the fact that they don't hate women, and they don't hate a culture of women, and they don't hate that literature, and that in fact they want to be able to bear witness and to testify and to say, yes, those are the women that I know, you know, regardless of race, you know, those
Absolutely.
Are strong, powerful, intelligent women who are part of a community that I grew up in, and therefore I want to come and not only celebrate that but enjoy that, and you know, and in a certain sense, testament. You can vocally testify. Yes, those are the people I know, and those are the people I love, and those are the people I want to celebrate. And I think Ruth's done an amazing job at allowing those voices and those women to exist. And so our job, I think, was, and my job, you know, was in helping to adapt it, was not to lose the integrity of that story and integrity of those characters and those people.
How did you two come together, Ruth Watson, the author, and Tom Jones?
Greenbrier Mall.
Greenbrier Mall.
Yeah, it was.
I hope you found something nice to wear, or were you returning?
Literally,
something?
It was. There's a wonderful actor in town, Margot Moore, who said, you know, there's a novel I want you to read, and there's a woman who's, you know, interested. I said, okay, and then I met her at Greenbrier Mall and realized we had known each other 3 years ago when I took my daughter to a movie theater and saw her there. And she used to come to Jumanji in the days. And she said, well, will you read it? I read it over the weekend and literally said, let's figure out how to do this. And 3 months from the time we said yes, we were in Washington, you know, actually in rehearsal.
Quite a collaboration.
And the first thing I did was call TC.
Right.
Because I didn't know anybody else who could do Herman in the way of not only, as he said, bring the broad edges to it and give a kind of subtly and nuanced performance, but also be compelling. Someone who you don't turn off to, that you want to know more about simply because, you know, he's lovable.
And because, you know, women fall under the spell of men who may be devilish.
Absolutely.
If you're just joining us, this is City Lights. Our guests today are playwright director Tom Jones and actor T.C. Carson. They'll tell us more about Horizon Theater's production of Blackberry Days after a short break.
Support for WABE comes from the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. On September 21st and 23rd, Paris comes to Atlanta as megastar Jean-Yves Thibaudet brings his piano pyrotechnics to the ASO's opening weekend. Tickets are on sale this Friday at ASO.org. And from Half Price Books, offering book lovers a broad selection of titles including current releases, bestsellers, collectibles, even textbooks. More at neighborhood Half Price Bookstores or online at hpb.com.
And we're back with City Lights on WABE, Atlanta's choice for NPR. I'm Lois Reitzes, here with you, director Tom Jones and actor T.C. Carson. We're talking about Blackberry Days, currently on stage at Horizon Theater. There's fabulous music in this show. Tom co-wrote with
William Knowles.
Yes. I started to say Walter Knowles. With William Knowles, you wrote the lyrics. He composed the music. And when looking at the book, Tom, at what point did you feel music ought to be added to this?
Almost immediately. First of all, one of the characters, central characters, is a blues singer. You know, so that in and of itself said, okay, it's certainly we need to tell this story in the key of the blues. And then secondly, the musicality of the language, that it would work so well. I think it felt fairly seamless going from a musical text to kind of the literary text and spoken text. And also the fact that we had some extraordinary actor singers, you know, and saying, okay, well, let's kind of expand the storytelling in a way that, you know, uses all the disciplines.
I love your combination of telling a story in the key of the blues and the literal, the actual role of Pearl, who is the blues singer.
Indeed.
We're going to listen to a clip. This is Laying It Down. I hope it's the one where she talks about when her husband's out of town.
Well, you know, one never know. Do one.
Talking musicality of language and the key of the blues. That is sensational.
Well, thank you.
If you would, since you are the great seducer, Don Juan T.C. Carson.
I'll take that. What you need.
What are these three women in the play? What are they struggling with? What are their challenges, including Pearl, whose husband obviously travels?
Well, Pearl's husband is away at the war and during the war, so he comes back home. He hasn't been home in a while. She thought he wasn't coming back, and he wound up coming back, so he's kind of messing up her game a little bit.
Oh, that good soldier serving his country.
Yeah, he's kind of messing up her game a little bit. I think she really is in love with Herman, you know, but Herman is a player. He really is. He marries a lady that he knows will take care of him. And he has his side piece, and he's looking for another one.
Yeah.
That's just who he is.
Not a heavy sigh.
A lot of the play.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
But this is what happens when I do, when I work with Tom. Tom always does women's stories. He, at least when I work with him.
He has and a daughter. All,
and the man is always the antagonist. And so when I come to work with him, I know that I'm going to be a schmarmy, not so nice kind of guy. Okay. And my goal is to make this guy likable all the time.
So long as you're only mean on stage.
Absolutely.
A lot of the play is set inside the juke joint. What exactly is a juke joint?
A juke joint is a spot in the country where people go to hear music and dance and play cards, hang out. It is the club. Mm-hmm. It is the club in the country. Around the corner, down the woods, across the trees, go over the bridge, and you see the lights, you hear the music, and that's where we are.
A safe space.
It is a safe space. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I mean, if you remember the old film Color Purple, when she goes running through, it's where, you know, Suge used to sing. It's Bessie Smith Day, they call it a buffet flat, you know. because it was always, once you went into the woods, it was always this little like flat land where you could feast, you know, and you could feast on all of your pleasures.
Music, drink, food.
Oh, great.
Wine, things. Women, and song.
And there you go.
This is the second time Blackberry Days will be performed. You mentioned at the outset it was in Washington, D.C., where it premiered. Now it's at Horizon Theater, and I wondered, what's the goal of this production? A national tour, film?
I think all of that. I think it certainly feels to me, in terms of looking at it in its incarnation, that it has kind of like Broadway underpinnings. It feels like national, like it has a national tour. It feels like it should be a film. So I think all of that, hopefully it's limitless in its possibilities, and the way in which audiences have been receiving it kind of tell you, okay, it has a life and it has legs and it should continue doing wonderful things. We have a production that's been picked up in Buffalo. We have a production that's picked up in Phoenix, you know, over the next 6 to 8 months. And so, yeah, it's just been kind of stars have been lining up, and we've gotten a lot of interest even from this production, just even in the opening weekend, of people saying, I'd like to sit down and talk and see what we can do with this.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it's exciting. Yeah, I think the future is bright.
Well, this star, T.C. Carson, it has been a joy to talk with your mean self. And Thomas W. Jones II.
Who's so kind.
Especially with the actors. Yes. Is the director and playwright of Blackberry Days. It's on stage at Horizon Theater now through August 27th. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for taking the time. It's been a pleasure.